talk about his assurances, blessed assurance, but also the song before, standing on the promises of God and how they go together. God, in this word, in his word, there are many, many promises that he gives us. That's why it's so important that we read and study his word. But we have the blessed assurance that all these promises that were given to us by God, by our Lord Jesus, that those promises will be kept, and that he always, always, unlike us so many times, does exactly what he promises he'll do. So I'm going to be talking this morning about assurance. So the key verse starting this morning would be 1 John 5:11-15. The dictionary describes assurance as a statement to inspire confidence or certainty. What we're going to talk about today is confidence that as we accept Christ as our Savior and as we receive the Holy Spirit, we become a child of God in the sense that we are a part of his great family and that we are his forever. We are in that family forever. He never, ever lets us go. That's another thing we can preach on sometime, but I am a firm advocate of what the Scripture teaches us about once saved, always saved. So let's read from 1 John 5:11-15. I just want to say I like to jump around quite a bit. I have quite a few scriptures this morning, but I'm not going to read all of them from all of them. But if you have a pen and pencil, you want to write some of these down because it goes to show the importance of reading the whole scripture, how verses correspond with each other. So 1 John 5:11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And if I could go on reading from that for quite a while, but okay. John wrote this first epistle to assure Christians that they were in faith and that they were in and that they are and that God is the true God is true to his word. This is the same John who wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He is reminding us of what he had written in his gospel. God loved, God gave, we believe, and we have. When he says that you may know that you have eternal life, he didn't say, "I hope so," or "maybe I have." He said, "No." He is saying insured of eternity. So it's important for us to understand God is the author of salvation, as written in John 3:16. God justifies or treats as acceptable sinners who receive Christ in faith. Let's read Romans 3:21-26. Romans 3:21-26. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. I knew I was going to stumble over this one. There you go. Thank you. In his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and that the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay. It says a lot. Assurance of salvation is God's gift. It comes totally from God. It's his gift. It's through grace and his love. Nothing we can earn. Nothing we can do ourselves. It comes strictly through God's grace. God in Christ protects and keeps Christians. Just as Jesus took seriously the task of persevering the disciples while he was on earth, as we read in John 17, 12, and 16. I think this is important because this pertains to us today also. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of predestination, the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We do not possess the strength to secure ourselves without the grace of God and his precious Son. We would be like the Israelites of the Old Testament, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And how many times did they go around that mountain and they never seemed to learn their lesson? What a God that we have. He loves us that much. As people whose sin debt has been paid in full, we should not live with uncertainty of whether we belong to the family of God. So, what are some of the reasons people tend to doubt their salvation? You think about that? I think one of the first ones, as I was studying this, is people have sin in their lives. Thus, the importance of listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring us to confession of those sins and purify our heart. Because sin will bring a feeling of estrangement from God. And I can experience that firsthand when I've done something that I know isn't probably in accordance with what the Holy Spirit is having me do. And if I don't come to confession of that, it seems to form a type of separation. It's almost like you're hiding from God, and you need to get that taken care of. No one who has been born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. 1 John 3, 9 and 10. That's what comes from 1 John. If you sin and feel perfectly miserable, it's an indication that you belong to him. That, again, is a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you being a child of God, is relentless. And when you reach a point to where doing things on your own isn't a big deal anymore, you got a problem. So I kind of relate that to the fact that if you feel strongly about your life as a Christian, and you know that you've succumbed to certain temptations. It's how important it is to listen to the Holy Spirit to confess that and have that forgiven. Second, false teaching. Pastors and teachers who do not hold the view that all the Bible is the Word of God. This can lead to doubts of salvation. We're so thankful here, so blessed, we as a church, but also our pastor and our elders, our deacons, we hold very, very strongly to this great book. You cannot allow teachings that go contrary to this book. And we can see a perfect example of that today in the world society of how that's happening and what that is leading to. So we as Christians, and this church, Desert Sky Baptist Church, we always pray that the Lord be with us and the Lord is present in His house. This is His house. He's here. And as long as we abide by His will and do things in accordance with His word, He's here. Praise God. Third, emphasis on emotions. Anybody have emotions? We all do to varying degrees, don't we? Be careful of feel-good religion. There is joy in the Christian life, but when it is based on emotions rather than doctrine, assurance is rare. Again, some of these, like Pastor likes to say, some of these things in God's Word they're hard, man. They're hard. But God in His infinite wisdom has a reason for that. And so it won't work, I can assure you, attending a church where what's preached is made sure that it makes everybody happy. That's not going to work. But as we study the Bible and with the help of the Holy Spirit, there is joy in being a Christian. Amen? All right. Fourth, failure to take God at His word. Anybody have trouble with that from time to time? Acts 16:31 says, "Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." He said it. It's His promise to us. Again, standing on the promises of God. He said it. He promised it. It is so. We must not doubt His sincerity or we risk calling Him a liar. Take Him at His word. He is indeed trustworthy. 1 John 1:8. Good reference to that. And number five, attacks from Satan. Satan will tell us, look at you. Christian doesn't act like that. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Anybody experienced that before in their life? You're not good enough. How can you expect to be a Christian? God doesn't want somebody like you. You messed up again. It's important for us to remember when we get those feelings that we need to get down on our knees and go to God in prayer and ask for strength. But also, He promised us that we are His. We'll mess up. We'll make mistakes. But just because your child makes mistakes in their lives, you don't give up on them and turn your back on them and disown them. No. God would never do that. Okay. There are, however, some truths God wants to understand to counter the enemies of assurance. First, understanding the will of God for our salvation. 1 Timothy 2:4 states, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. He is standing with His arms open to welcome us into His family. Awesome, huh? Second, we understand the provision God has made for our salvation. He gave His life a ransom for many. And we read about that in Matthew 20 and 28. 1 Peter 2:24 through 25 tells us he himself bore the sins on the cross that we having died to sins, might live for righteousness. What do we mean by righteousness? Basically, it's a right relationship with God. It's the only way we can stand righteous in front of God, in front of Jesus Christ, is because of what he did for us, his sacrifice for us. That's our only hope. Nothing we can do ourselves. Again, what a Savior we have. It's a real definition of grace and love that our Lord Jesus has for us. Jesus paid such a high price, the shedding of blood, that salvation is capricious. He died in our place so we could know that we belong to him. Believe, have faith, and put your trust in him. Very important. Let's read John 5:24. Did I put that one up there? Yes, I did. Okay. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Great words. What a great promise. Another promise of God. Another promise that we can be assured of. I don't know. Sometimes I think, isn't it probably more our own self-doubts of ourself than it is we doubt God? We struggle with the fact that we are the way we are, and how can we ever come up to the standards that the Bible teaches us? But God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Word, and his church and fellow believers will never get perfect. Never. That'll never happen. And that's why we need the grace of God and why he sent his son. But we do struggle, I think, probably, I know I do sometimes, with the fact that it's hard to comprehend the grace and the love that God would have for someone like me. But he made his promises. We can be assured he keeps those promises. Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from life to death. Great word. Remember that. John 5, starting in verse 24. So, let's ask ourselves some questions. I was thinking about this and came up with some. Keep these in our watch pocket, I think, from time to time, like Pastor likes to say. First of all, first question is, do I believe the Word of God? God said it, I believe it, and that settles the matter. Is it that simple? It should be. Do you believe the Word of God? All right. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Second, do I have the witness of the Holy Spirit? First John 5, 6 tells us, it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. This is important. It's a conviction, not a feeling. We are convicted by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us when we're straying down the wrong path. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us. Again, going back to what I said earlier, if you realize that you probably did something that wasn't in accordance with the will of God, and it's bothering you, that's the Holy Spirit that's convicting you. It's a conviction, not a feeling. Okay, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to refer more to that? Read from Romans 8:16. Number three, do I have the walk of the believer? In other words, are you different? Do you have the desire to please the Lord? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Kind of goes back to when the Holy Spirit convicts us and we become saved. We accept Christ as our Savior. And what is the next step that the Bible tells us? Go and be baptized. That's pretty hard to me to take out of context, you know, because what baptism is all about is, and I can attest to this very strongly, is when I was baptized, when I went under that water and came up out of that water, there was a totally, totally different feeling, totally different. And what that was representing, of course, is that you're washing away an old life, your old self, and you're starting with a clean slate. You're starting with the Lord in your life, with the Holy Spirit, and that needs to show in your life, and it should show in your life. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes from time to time, because we do, but it's one thing to confess that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you accept Christ as that Savior, and even go so far as to be baptized, but then it's back to the old, same old thing. That's not how it's supposed to work. And if we're not careful, and if we don't follow up, and if we don't realize the importance of what he's telling us to start a new life, then it's not going to show. And I don't believe that it's a true, true conviction. We're still sinners, but the Holy Spirit convicts us, and by confession and repentance, by the grace of our Lord and Savior, we, as his children, have eternal life. Again, that's what it's telling us. But there's an order to things, and that's why I feel it's so important when we enter the house of God, when we get down on our knees and pray, anytime we approach God, anytime we talk to God, is what the Scripture tells us, and we have the Holy Spirit for that, is to, we need to purify our hearts. We need to have those sins confessed, and we need to repent of those sins. But it's so important, because we got to realize and remember who we're approaching and who we're talking to. God cannot exist with sin. Therefore, when the Bible tells us we need to confess our sins and we need to repent of our sins, it's not just like Pastor likes to say, moving air. There's a very good reason for that. And too often we miss that. I think we just go into our prayer, whatever we're going to pray. But I really feel strongly about that. It's so important that we come before our loving Father with a pure heart. And like I said before in my other sermon on prayer, the Holy Spirit will convict you because he knows all of them. He knows them all, and he'll convict you and remind you of them. So, okay, salvation is not a feeling. It is a fact based on the finished work of Christ on Calvary. The truth is, once saved, always saved. Once a family member, always a family member. Blessed assurance, isn't that a blessed assurance? Man. In this world today, as we look around and we see the direction of the way things are going and the many, many things that pull us into the world, to live by the world, if we didn't have that assurance from Christ, if we didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be like those Israelis wandering around in the desert, wouldn't we? I was doing a little reading the other day, and I happened to run into, everybody know who D.L. Moody is? He wrote something, and it really hit me. I thought it was really good, and something we should put in our watch pockets. Someday, this is his words, someday you will read in the papers that Moody is dead. Don't believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. Praise God. You know, when things get tough in this life, which they do, it's like being on a rough sea. We got to remember that we as Christians have an anchor, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our anchor. He is our blessed assurance. I'd like to read a little from 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. These are the words of Paul. And Paul at that time, you could say he was on a rocky road. He was in prison again, good old Paul. And he wrote this. And it says, it is a trustworthy statement. And take it from me, as I've studied the scripture over the years, if Paul says it's a trustworthy statement, it's a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. To me, that would be the most tragic thing in any human being's life, to stand in front of Jesus one day and Jesus says, I don't know you. Oh. So, we need to use the gifts that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, this precious word, members of his church, to always be aware that there's someone out there, and I experienced it the other day, that needs to hear these words, and it's just waiting for someone to come along to do that. And I always try to pray that God will always make me aware of those around me that are reaching out. Too many times I've had the situation where I've gone on my way and thought to myself, I needed to say that. Why didn't I say that? And so I just pray that each one of us will always be aware that the opportunities that God presents us to use those opportunities, he'll give us the words to say, he'll give us the strength to do it. But we really, really do need to do it, because there are a lot of hurting people out there, and there's a lot of people that are just looking for some guidance. Okay, I'm going to finish up here with, our assurance is rooted in the conviction that when Jesus departed from the disciples, the Lord did not orphan them. He promises them he would be with them, as much a part of them as their very breath. And the scripture, again, promises that very thing. You know, he knew what his disciples were in for. He knew what they were going to be facing. Paul, for example. But he looked out for them. He gave them what they needed. He was with them. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit was with them. He never leaves us hanging. He always provides us and gives us what we need. And I love to think of some of the things that are happening in this church. We have prayed and prayed and prayed for God's guidance, for God to send us those that he would have here in this church. The workings of the women's group, the SOS group, the Sunday school getting started. God is faithful, and God does what he promises to do, and we can take assurance, blessed assurance, and have faith in that. So praise God for that. Okay, I'm a little short according to pastor standards today, but I just thank God for the honor and privilege to be able to stand up here, because I'll tell you what, it's totally the Holy Spirit. It's totally the work of the Spirit. I could never, ever, ever do this without him. So praise God, we have him in our lives, and we have his precious Holy Spirit. So thank you. I'm going to